This is Ann Weller with the Triangle Radio Reading Service. And during the next 30 minutes, I will be sharing nutrition information with you. This information is selected from the Nutrition Action Health Letter, a publication of the Center for Science in the Public Interest, based in Washington, D.C. The Center for Science in the Public Interest was founded in 1971 by three scientists who wanted to apply their academic training to the solving of social problems. The center's staff conduct innovative research and other programs in health and nutrition, and they provide consumers with current information about their health and well-being. An independent, nonprofit consumer health group, the center promotes honest food labeling and advertising, safer and more nutritious foods, and pro-health alcohol policies. The work of the Center for Science in the Public Interest is supported by Nutrition Action Health Letter subscribers and by foundation grants. It accepts no government or industry funding. A Nutrition Action Health Letter, first published in 1974, accepts no advertising. The following edition of Nutrition News is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. Please use the information presented in this broadcast in consultation with your personal physician. In the cover story of the January-February issue of Nutrition Action Health Letter, Director of Nutrition Bonnie Liebman explores cancer and how to lower your risk. All cancers are not equal. Some cancers, like lung and pancreatic, are more likely to kill you than others, like prostate and breast cancer. Some cancers, like colon and cervical, are easier to detect at early stages than others, like ovarian and esophageal cancer. And some cancers are more closely linked to what and how much you eat and how much you move than other people. So here's a snapshot of the major cancers that are linked to diet, weight, or exercise. Now please bear in mind that some factors, like smoking, boost your risk of cancer 20-fold, while most others barely double your odds. And having warning signs does not mean that you have cancer. No one can guarantee that you won't get cancer, but you can lower your risk. Rachel Carson, Elizabeth Edwards, and Linda McCartney lost their battles with breast cancer. Melissa Etheridge, Sandra Day O'Connor, Cokie Roberts, Carly Simon, and Gloria Steinem have not lost their battles with breast cancer. No other cancer strikes anywhere near as many women, though lung cancer claims more lives. The good news, however, is that when the Women's Health Initiative reported in 2002 that taking hormones, that is, estrogen plus progestin, after menopause, raised the risk of breast cancer, millions of women tore up their prescriptions, and that led to a 7% drop in new breast cancers from 2002 to 2003. And since then, the rates have leveled off. You have a higher risk of breast cancer if you are a woman over 60, if a relative, especially a mother, sister, or daughter, had breast or ovarian cancer. Your risk is higher if you have mutations in genes that are found in families with high rates of breast cancer. You're at a higher risk for breast cancer if your menstrual period started before the age of 12 or if menopause started after the age of 55. You have a higher risk of breast cancer if you were older than 30 when you had your first child, or if you never gave birth. You have a higher risk of breast cancer if you took hormones, specifically estrogen plus progestin, after menopause. You have a higher risk of breast cancer if you have dense breast tissue, as seen on a mammogram. And you have a higher risk of breast cancer if you have atypical hyperplasia or carcinoma in situ. The first thing to emphasize about postmenopausal breast cancer is that excess weight increases the risk, says Regina Ziegler of the Division of Cancer Epidemiology and Genetics at the National Cancer Institute. And it's not just being obese, but also simply being overweight. One reason for this is that after menopause, fat cells, not ovaries, are the main source of estrogen, which promotes the growth of most breast cancers. Researchers also suspect that higher insulin levels promote tumors. In one study, among women who did not take hormones after menopause, those with the highest insulin levels were 2.5 times more likely to be diagnosed with breast cancer than those with the lowest levels. As you become heavier, you're more likely to have higher insulin levels or pre-diabetes, notes Dr. Ziegler, who adds that we don't know yet if insulin has a role independent of its association with excess weight. What else matters in the development of breast cancer? Well, a daily serving of alcohol raises the risk of breast cancer slightly. In contrast, physical activity may reduce the risk of breast cancer, adds Dr. Ziegler. What's more, breast cancer patients who are more active and less overweight have better odds of surviving the disease. Researchers are also looking at the possibility that vitamin D or carotene-rich foods like deep orange and dark green fruits and vegetables may protect the breast. However, it is too early to draw such a conclusion, says Dr. Ziegler. The warning signs of breast cancer are a painless lump. Less common symptoms are a thickening or a swelling, distortion, tenderness, skin irritation, redness, scaliness, dimpling, puckering, pitting, discharge, or nipple turned inward. Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Ronald Reagan survived colon cancer. Tony Snow, Audrey Hepburn, and Mstislav Rostropovich did not. Screening largely explains why the incidence of colon and rectal cancers has dropped since 1985. Colonoscopies and other screening tests give doctors the chance to remove polyps before they turn into tumors, a process that can take years. Despite the drop in rates, colon and rectal cancer still claim more lives than any cancer other than lung cancer. You have a higher risk of colon cancer or rectal cancer if you are over the age of 50. If your parent, brother, sister, or child had colon cancer. If you've ever had colon polyps, your risk is higher of developing colon or rectal cancer. If you have ulcerative colitis or Crohn's disease, your risk of colon or rectal cancer is increased. And if you smoke cigarettes, your risk of developing colon or rectal cancer is increased. Being overweight or obese is clearly associated with colorectal cancer. And a larger waist circumference also increases the risk, says Marjorie McCullough, Director of Nutritional Epidemiology at the American Cancer Society. And in the National Institutes of Health, American Association of Retired Persons study of roughly half a million people, men and women who did moderate to vigorous exercise at least five times a week, had an 18% lower risk of colon cancer than those who did little or no exercise. It is not just how much, but what you eat that matters. Red and processed meats are convincingly associated with an increased risk of colorectal cancer, says Dr. McCullough. The heme iron in red meat may act as a catalyst in the gut and generate free radicals that damage DNA, she explains. There's also concern about carcinogens formed during high heat cooking. Processed meats like bacon or sausage are also often cooked at high heat and often have direct contact with the pan or flames, notes Dr. McCullough. What is more, processed meats may have nitrites that turn into carcinogens called nitrous amines. So you're getting a double whammy. On the plus side, the evidence is pretty good that calcium and dairy are protective, says Dr. McCullough. But people need to realize that more is not always better. In a landmark clinical trial, calcium supplements, 1,000 milligrams a day, lowered the risk of new precancerous colon polyps in people who'd already had one. But men who consumed more than 1,500 milligrams of calcium a day had a higher risk of prostate cancer, in some but not in other studies. There seems to be a sweet spot between, say, 800 and 1,200 milligrams a day for calcium, which would be equal to 2 to 3 servings of dairy, depending on the food, says Dr. McCullough. Staying under 1,500 milligrams matters more for men, she adds. Women have no prostate and more bone disease to worry about. Some studies suggest that vitamin D may protect against colon cancer, but the evidence is not completely consistent, cautions Dr. McCullough. A large international collaboration is now measuring blood vitamin D levels and looking at subsequent risk of colorectal and breast cancer, notes the National Cancer Institute's Regina Ziegler, who is working on that project. Results are expected in a few years. The warning signs of colorectal cancers are diarrhea or constipation, feeling that your bowel does not empty completely, bright red or very dark blood in your stool, narrow stool, gas pains or cramps, feeling full or bloated, unintended weight loss, fatigue, nausea, and vomiting. Ron Silver, Ann Richards, Harmon Killebrew, and Christopher Hitchens died of esophageal cancer. Esophageal cancer is actually two diseases. Worldwide, squamous cell carcinoma is more common. Its victims are typically smokers, heavy drinkers, or poorly nourished. In the United States, adenocarcinoma now accounts for half of all esophageal cancers. These patients often weigh too much, and many suffer from acid reflux. When stomach acid backs up into the esophagus, it can damage the flat cells that ordinarily line the esophagus. And in some people, those cells get replaced by gland cells that look like the acid-resistant cells that line the stomach and the small intestine. This condition, called Barrett's esophagus, is linked to an 11-fold higher risk of adenocarcinoma, though 90% of those with Barrett's never get the cancer. You have a higher risk of esophageal cancer if you are over the age of 60, a male, or if you smoke cigarettes. Your risk of esophageal cancer is also higher if you have Barrett's esophagus. Or, for squamous cell carcinoma, you drink heavily. In today's world, obesity is dominating everything, says Susan Main, head of the Division of Chronic Disease Epidemiology at the Yale School of Public Health. In the National Institutes of Health, American Association of Retired Persons study, which tracked roughly 500,000 men and women for 7 years, those who were overweight have had a 70% higher risk of esophageal adenocarcinoma than those who were normal weight. The obese had more than double the risk, because pressure from a bigger belly may raise the odds of gastric reflux. Does red meat endanger the esophagus, as some studies suggest? We see weak effects, says Dr. Main. But what if a red meat-based diet is contributing to obesity? We need to look at that separately. The warning signs of esophageal cancer are: food gets stuck in the esophagus or comes back up, painful swallowing, chest or back pain, unintended weight loss, heartburn, a hoarse voice or cough that does not go away in 2 weeks. Desi Arnaz, Yul Brynner, Walt Disney, Duke Ellington, Betty Grable, Peter Jennings, and Paul Newman are some of the smokers who died of lung cancer. Dana Reeve, the wife of Christopher Reeve, and Beverly Sills are among those who died of lung cancer, even though they never smoked. Lung cancer kills more Americans than breast, colon, and prostate cancers combined, while cigarettes, cigars, and pipes account for 87% of lung cancers. 16,000 to 24,000 Americans who never smoked die of lung cancer each year. Non-smokers can still get lung cancer, says the National Cancer Institute's Regina Ziegler. You have a higher risk of lung cancer if you smoke tobacco, if you're older than 65 years of age, if you've been exposed to radon, asbestos, diesel exhaust, air pollution, or secondhand smoke, or if you have a parent or sibling who had lung cancer. It came as a total surprise. In 2010, researchers tracking 500,000 healthy Europeans found that those with higher blood levels of vitamin B6 had a 55% lower risk of developing lung cancer. Vitamin B6 was associated with a similar decrease in risk among never smokers, former smokers, and current smokers, says Dr. Ziegler. So smoking does not explain the results. The findings were so striking that a large international consortium is measuring B vitamins in many prospective studies and pulling the results for lung cancer, she adds. Seafood, poultry, beans, cottage cheese, nuts, whole grains, and fortified breakfast cereals are rich in vitamin B6. But don't rush out to the drugstore for B6 pills. Something else about the people who eat foods rich in vitamin B6 could account for the link, cautions Dr. Ziegler. Nevertheless, researchers cannot afford to ignore any new clues. As the European scientists note, lung cancer remains the most common cause of cancer death in the world today and is likely to remain so in the near future. The warning signs of lung cancer are persistent cough, shortness of breath, constant chest pain, coughing up blood, a hoarse voice, frequent lung infections like pneumonia, fatigue, or unintended weight loss. Kathy Bates, Carol Channing, and Bess Meyerson survived ovarian cancer. Coretta Scott King, Laura Nero, and Gilda Radner did not survive ovarian cancer. The 5-year survival rate for ovarian cancer is 94%, for women who are diagnosed before the cancer spreads. Unfortunately, nearly 2 out of 3 ovarian cancers are diagnosed after the cancer has spread to distant sites, which slashes the 5-year survival rate to 28%. So, starting in 1991, a National Cancer Institute trial randomly assigned more than 78,000 women either to get a yearly blood test for CA-125 for 6 years and an annual ultrasound for 4 years, or to get their usual care. CA-125 is a protein that is elevated in the presence of inflammation and certain tumors. By June of 2011, the results were in. The screened women were no less likely to die of ovarian cancer. And one reason for this is that ultrasound does not detect tumors early enough. Ultrasound does not detect tumors early enough. What's more, CA-125 is produced by ovarian cancer cells, but it's also produced by many other malignant and non-malignant conditions. So it is not a specific marker, noted Edward Partridge, director of the University of Alabama at Birmingham Comprehensive Cancer Center, when reporting on a 2009 study on screening. Now, you have a higher risk of ovarian cancer if you or your mother, daughter, or sister had cancer of the ovary, breast, colon, rectum, or uterus. You have a higher risk of ovarian cancer if you have mutations in certain genes like BRCA1 and BRCA2, which are found in families with high rates of ovarian cancer. And you have a higher risk of developing ovarian cancer if you are over the age of 55, or if you never gave birth, or if you took estrogen without progestin for at least 10 years. Does obesity raise the risk of ovarian cancer? The results are inconsistent, says the American Cancer Society's Marjorie McCullough. Does exercise curb the risk of developing ovarian cancer? That's inconclusive also, she adds. Might vitamin D help? The Vitamin D Pooling Project did not see an association between vitamin D and ovarian cancer. Could the lactose in milk harm the ovary? That is also a very weak association. In other words, there is not much that women can do to lower the risk of ovarian cancer. It's unfortunate because it is a hard cancer to screen for, says Dr. McCullough. Screening is not just ineffective, it can be harmful. In the National Cancer Institute's trial, roughly 5% of the screened women were told that they had cancer, but did not have it. In women giving a false diagnosis, 1 out of 3 had surgery, often to remove an ovary, which caused an infection or other serious complication, in 1 out of 20. Out of 100 women who test positive, only 1.6 actually have ovarian cancer, says Dr. Partridge in explaining his 2009 study results. So what's your best bet? Follow guidelines for lowering your risk of other cancers, says Dr. McCullough. Maintain a healthy body weight. Stay physically active and eat a mostly plant-based diet. The warning signs of ovarian cancer include pressure or pain in the abdomen, pelvis, back, or legs, swollen or bloated abdomen, nausea, indigestion, gas, constipation, diarrhea, fatigue. Less common symptoms of ovarian cancer include shortness of breath, the need to urinate often, heavy vaginal bleeding, or bleeding after menopause. Unfortunately, we have reached the conclusion of this month's segment of Nutrition News. This show will be rebroadcast this week on Friday at 11 p.m. and on Saturday at 3 p.m. I will continue this discussion of the development of cancers on the next edition of Nutrition News, which will air on Wednesday, April 4th, 2012. I'm Ann Weller, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service, and I hope that you've enjoyed the show. This program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience, and it is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast. So long until next month.